What is your purpose? What's your purpose today? Do you remember what your purpose is as a Christ follower? Let me ask you a question today. How many accepted Jesus based off of either someone telling you about Jesus, a friend inviting you to church, or sharing their testimony? Raise your hand if a friend had an influence on you making a decision to follow Jesus. Raise them high. Let me see. Yeah, look around you. See, this should remind you and I of the responsibility of our, the power of our influence that we have. And that as a Christ follower, we have responsibility and we have the power of influence that we gotta learn to let Him shine bright. So we want to be a church that reaches people who do not know Christ. Let me say it again. Destiny Church, we wanna be a church who reaches people who do not know Christ. Now, if you know Jesus when you come in, you're still welcome here because we need more people to help us reach more people. We need more people to help us serve. We need more people to help us give, to help us sing, to help us invite, to help us disciple, to help us mentor. We need more people to reach more people. But the overall purpose of the church should be about bringing people to know Jesus. And we should never forget our purpose is found when we pursue what is close to God's heart. Remember, we say out front in our banners out front, in our signage out front, to love God, right? To love others, to love people, and to teach others to do the same. To love God, right? To love people, and to teach others to do the same. We're teaching people to love God, to follow after Him with all of their heart, all of their soul. And then Jesus said the second greatest command, He goes, you learn to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're learning to follow God, to love Him with everything, and then we're learning to love people, and then we're teaching people how to do the same. After we accept Christ as Lord of our lives, why are we still left on this earth? That's the question for you today. Think about that. If the ultimate goal is for us to be in heaven with Jesus, He says, I'm going to come back. I'm going to bring you back to myself. For eternity, we're going to spend with Jesus, a place where there'll be no sickness, no disease, no virus, no mask. We're not going to have any of that stuff in heaven. He said, if that's the goal, then why does He not just kind of like Star Trek, after we accept Jesus, say, all right, Jesus, beam me up, Scotty, right? There's a reason why He leaves us here on earth for now. And that reason is to know God and to make Him known. That reason is we are not to go to heaven alone, that we're to bring as many people with us. And He wants us to share our testimony of redemption. He wants us to share that I blew it. He wants us to share that I was a sinner lost, and I was once lost, but now I'm found. He wants me to share that. He wants me to learn to shine bright. That's why today you're all dressed in neon, and we have neon sticks that you got when you walked in the door. Many of you got bracelets and necklaces out of them today. Why is that? Because we are all about shining bright. And in the middle of a dark season, in the middle of a trying season, like we're going through now, it's easy to forget our purpose. It's easy to get off track. And when you get off from purpose, then you're wandering around like sheep in circles. We're wandering around, what's my purpose? What are we doing? What's going to happen? And let me tell you, let's get back to the purpose of shining bright. What an opportunity we have now more than ever. More than ever, we have a chance to shine bright. There's darkness. You don't have to look very far from darkness. It's all around us. You can walk into your work tomorrow and shine bright. You can walk into your store tomorrow and you can shine bright. You can walk your neighborhood today and shine bright. You have an opportunity to shine bright every day, especially now. It's our chance to shine bright. Today, I want to tell you a story. It's a great story found in Mark chapter 2 about these guys who had a buddy who was paralyzed and they brought him to Jesus. Let's look at this story. Let's read the first four verses of Mark chapter 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that He was back home. Soon the house where He was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room. Time out right there a second. Let me just declare to you that when Jesus is in the house, people will show up. When Jesus is in the house, people will show up. I have a lot of pastor friends that I'm talking to, and I'm reading a lot of articles about how do we regrow the church now that we've had the shutdown, and the people aren't coming back like they used to before we shut the doors, and then we reopen, and now people are coming back in much lower percentages. And some are saying, we got to do this, and we got to, it's going to take a year, it's going to take 2 years, and here's some strategies. And let me tell you, when we get Jesus in the house, people will show up. When we worship Jesus truly, people will show up. When people are being healed, restored, when people have their lives redeemed, when God's in the house, and we're just not playing church, people, God will show up if we'll just go after him. When Jesus is in the house, people will fill the house. That's the best growth strategy ever invented, right? Let Jesus be in the house and people will run to find out what's going on. Shine bright in the middle of darkness and people want to come and find out, where's that light coming from? I need that in my life. I need that positivity in my life. I need healing in my life. I need redemption in my life. It's time for us to open up and to shine bright. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say shine bright. We got to shine bright. Let's keep reading here. That's just the first part here. All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to calm down. So they packed with visitors that there was no more room. Even outside the door. They're standing room only, okay? While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole on the top of the house. They went through the roof above his head. And then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. See, I love this. This paralyzed man is there. And this man has some great friends. Let's think of it. This man had some awesome, amazing friends that he was paralyzed. And I'm sure this man was out begging. That's the only way he could support himself was when friends helped him. And they would probably take him and set him out at the day and let him beg and get some people to give to him food or whatever they could give him, some scraps. That's how he survived daily. But this man had some amazing friends because they're thinking, you know what? Jesus is back in town. Jesus is back in the area. And I've been hearing stories about people being healed. I've been hearing these amazing miracles that were happening. We got to get our friend to Jesus. And so they said, we're going to take him to Jesus. So they carried this man to Jesus. And then when they couldn't get in, they went up on top of the roof and they did some crazy things. So number one, I want you to be like his friends and write this down. I want you to be willing to take a risk. They were willing to take a risk. Are there any risk takers in the house? Raise your hand. All right? If you're here and say, you know what, Pastor, it's way too risky for me to raise my hand in church, you're definitely not a risk taker, okay? Let's answer that right now. I like being around risk takers. I like taking risks myself. You know, with the church, we need to be full of risk takers. You know, doctors tell us this, and we know it's very true, that nobody really likes the unknown. We all like living in certainty, and we don't like living in uncertainty. There's a fear that can grip us, the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown will drive us crazy. I mean, the fear of hearing noises. What's out there? I don't know. But it's just the fear of hearing those noises. Your mind plays tricks on you when it's dark and you hear those noises. It's just a cricket, but I don't know. I hear something out there. And pretty soon that cricket grows into a bear, right? Your mind's playing tricks on you. We don't like the fear of the unknown. And I think it's the same way that we have fear. If I shine bright, what happens if I share my testimony with a coworker? What happens if I share God's love with a friend? What happens if I share God's love at my school? What happens if I share God's love at my break room? What happens if I go to that person and invite them to go to lunch with me or invite them over to our house for a Bible study? What happens if I invite them to church? It's the fear of, will they reject that? Will they accept that? Will they embrace it? Or will they make fun of me? I remember a time when I was a young Christian and I was on my job, and I was the only one who was a believer on my job. It wasn't a big crew of us, but I was the only one who was a believer on that crew. And I began to share my testimony, and I would invite guys to church, and I was just telling them about my relationship with God. And man, they would laugh at me. They would ridicule me. And I was a new Christian then. And so I wanted to punch them in the face. I ain't gonna lie. I'm like, dude, I will knock you out. You better not ever talk about God that way. I mean, I was like really mad, but God was changing me and I didn't do that. And so I just kept, you know, I didn't like the one that made fun of me. I tell you, it hurt, but I didn't stop. I kept on living my light bright before them. And anytime I had a chance, I wasn't annoying about it, but anytime I had a chance to brag on God or to let my light shine, I would always do that. And I remember one night, in the middle of the night, I got a phone call from my boss, someone who had really gave me a lot of trouble about sharing my testimony and about sharing God's love in the workplace. And he called me in the middle of the night one night in tears and said, Gene, my little girl, he goes, she's in the hospital and they're not giving her much hope. He goes, we need a miracle. He goes, would you please pray for me and my family? Would you pray for my little girl? And I remember praying for him over the phone, and I reached out to him, and I ended up leading this young man and his whole family to Jesus. Why? Because I was not afraid to step out of my job. I wasn't afraid to face my fear. I wasn't afraid to do that. But it happens. I remember one time I was witnessing to a waiter, and it's the first time I'd ever done that. This person was waiting tables, and we struck up a conversation, and we had this, you know, good thing going back and forth. I don't know if they're just wanting a good tip or what, but man, we had this good thing going back and forth. And I just really felt like God was saying, I want you to share your testimony with them. I want you to invite them to church. And so I began to share with them. And I was so nervous, and I'd never done that before. I just met this person. But I'm sharing my testimony with them. I'm sharing God's love with them. And then we ended up, he liked us so much. I said, hey, let's meet tomorrow for lunch. And I met him tomorrow at lunch for a different place. And we went out to lunch. And I bought him a cheap meal. And I told him about God's love. And then when we got done, I led him through the Lord right there. And he accepted Christ right there at that lunch. I'm telling you, you got to break through your fears. People want to know there is hope. People want to know that they have a hope in Jesus. Just because you think they have it together doesn't mean they have it together. Just because they're rich or poor doesn't make a difference. People need to know that Jesus is the way. And they're looking for somebody who's brave enough to come and tell them. Thank God somebody was brave enough to invite you. Thank God someone was brave enough to bring you to church. Thank God someone was brave enough to pray for you to share their testimony. Thank God someone planted a seed in you, and then somebody else planted a seed. Somebody else planted a seed. Eventually, you gave your life to Jesus. We can't be afraid to take risk. I remember one time I met a family back when my kids were younger. I would coach a lot of their ball teams, and it gave me a chance to meet new people in the community. And I would never tell them I was a pastor. Early on, the church had just started, so I wouldn't tell them I was a pastor. I was just a dad there coaching their kids, and we would befriend these families, and we would learn who they were, and we learned their kid's name, of course, and some people you really hit it off with. And I just realized one time, I was like, I just had one family we really got close to and on the team. We always stayed after and talked to them, and they were always so glad and appreciative that we were reaching out and taking care of their kids and coaching them. And I remember I said, would you like to go to church with us sometime? Easter's coming up, be a great Sunday. I don't know if you're going to church either way, but I'd love to have you go to church. And like, no, we haven't been to church in years and years. And thank you. Thanks for the invite. And I remember they called me up on Saturday night before that Easter and said, hey, we're thinking about coming to church. Like, you invited us. Will you be there? I said, oh yeah, I'll be there. I'm not going to miss. I promise you that. I'll be there. And they walked in that day, and I greeted them. How are you doing? And they sat down. And when church started, I got up. You could see their face like, what? Get down from there, Gene. What are you doing? Get off the stage. And pretty soon it clicked. Oh, he's the pastor. And they gave their heart to Christ, and they brought their whole family to Christ, and they've been coming and leading many others to Christ, and they've been serving in our church for years. I love that we got to break past our fear. And just invite and let God use us. We got to shine bright more than ever. It's a time to shine bright. But people, this is a time that's too divided. More than ever, we need to shine bright. Let's quit arguing, letting people divide us, and let's start showing God's love. Let's quit arguing over stupid, small things, and let God's love shine through us. Let God's love shine through us. Be willing to take a risk. Mark 2:5, look what it says now, the rest of the story. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. I love this. He looked at them and says, seeing their faith. It wasn't his faith. It was his friend's faith. I mean, they took a step of faith. We're going to bring this man to Jesus. Hopefully, Jesus will heal this man. And Jesus could have been upset with them. You guys just tore this guy's roof off his house. Hang on, someone get their names and number. We're gonna have to sign a waiver before we leave the service, okay? Before I can minister to your friend, you need to sign a waiver. You're gonna take care of this hole in the roof. I ain't taking care of that hole. Okay, a lot of things could have happened. Jesus could have said, I was on the third point. Yeah, writing away my PowerPoint, and all of a sudden you're swinging this guy back and forth, lowering him down. In the middle of my illustration, I had a great illustration. What were you guys thinking? He didn't do any of that. It says Jesus was moved by their faith. He was moved that they took a risk. See, when you take a risk, Jesus is moved. Jesus was moved by that. And he was not upset. He was moved by their faith. I love this. Number two, write this down. Believing the impossible. They believed the impossible. That they could get their friend to Jesus and he could be healed. I remember one time in high school, I was just really learning what it meant to follow Jesus. And I wasn't very good at it, I would tell you that. I really stunk at it. I was not a very good witness. I guess if I was teaching to somebody, I'd probably tell you I had one foot on one in and one foot out type of person. You know, one day I was over here, the next day I was out, one day I was in, one day I was out. But I remember that summer, God began to do something in my life. And God had really begun to challenge me. And I remember saying, God, I'll follow you. And I was just really learning what it meant to surrender my life to Jesus. And I prayed this prayer. I said, God, help me have an impact with my fellow students in my school. I really want to reach them. And if I can do anything to reach them, help me to do that. But I was a horrible witness. My best witness was I went to FCA. You know, I went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'd invite friends to go and we'd have free donuts and, you know, talk. And it was good. And then we, you know, went to Teens for Christ. That was my only good witness right there. I'd go to Teens for Christ and went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was a horrible witness outside of that, okay? But I was thinking the other day, over the last 4 months, you can count more than two hands, double digits of my high school friends who are reaching out to me and have been sending me messages. We've been watching you online. We've been watching your services online. We've been watching Destiny in different states and it's been ministering to me and I decided to follow Jesus. I've got hope again. I'm sharing it with my kids and I'm sharing it with my family. And I got a bunch of high school buddies that I haven't seen in 30 years. All of a sudden they're watching online and they're listening today. And if that's you, I'm so glad you're doing it. Keep on. Keep on giving your life to Jesus. Keep on believing that God will do something in your life. Jesus is the answer. You see, I'm telling you, when you begin to pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. God, help me reach people. God, help me be a light to you. Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. God, let me be a light for you. Mark 2:7-10. Let's read the rest of the story. What is he saying? All of his skeptics now, they were coming after Jesus. They said, this is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Now we see something happening here. Look at this statement. What we think we need isn't always what Jesus thinks we need. His friends thought this man needed a physical healing. He's paralyzed. He needs to get physically healed. And that was an obvious need of this man. But what Jesus was preaching to everybody in that house that day, and from generations to generations who go on to read this story, we see this is that our greatest need is not necessarily our greatest need. He understands what the greatest need is in our life. And our greatest need is a spiritual need. Our greatest miracle we need is a spiritual miracle. Jesus knew this man, yeah, he needs healed, but he needs a spiritual miracle first. Above that, he had looked at him and says, man, your sins are forgiven of you. He did a spiritual miracle before he ever healed them. Testifying to all of us that we got to realize that there is a spiritual miracle that needs to happen in every one of our lives. If I could only have this change, if I could only have that change, if I could only get this healed. Listen, we get people healed spiritually first and then let God take care of the rest. We got to see that and understand that. Jesus had said the greatest need is for us to be healed spiritually. Then number three, you got to write it down. Celebrate together. They celebrated together. I love this story. Let's read verses 11 and 12 now. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." And the man jumped up. Are you kidding me? Time out. This man jumped up. It wasn't like they had to help him up, you know, when his, because you would think a man who's been paralyzed would have no strength in his muscles. He'd have no flexibility. This man jumped up. I'm telling you, when Jesus does a miracle, he doesn't do it halfway. This man jumped, leaped up. Think about that. It wasn't just that he could walk. He had strength in those legs. He had flexibility in those legs. Man, he jumped up, picked up his mat. Grabbed his mat, and he walked out through the what? Let's say it together. The stunned onlookers. One more time, let's say it together. The stunned onlookers. Remember that. They were all amazed and praising God. They exclaimed, "We've never seen anything like this before." They were praising the Lord, saying, "We've never seen this." They were stunned. Listen, we've got to bring the love of Jesus. We've got to shine bright. We've got to share the love. We've got to share our testimony. We've got to let it shine brighter than ever before. Listen, it's time for us to stun the world. We need to stun people with God's love. We need to stun people with the goodness of God. We need to stun people. They need to look in this bright time and say, "You know what? It's dark around me, but there's somebody who's shining the light of love. I'm stunned. I'm amazed at how much love they're showing. I'm amazed at what God is doing." It's time for us to stun the world. Listen, we got to stun the world. Let's love the hell out of people. Come on now. Let's make it our purpose. Let's love people. Come on, I'm not hearing enough amens. We need to learn to love the hell out of people. And I mean that exactly how I said it. We got to love people. Look past their pain. Get past your own fear. Quit being paralyzed by your fear. And say, "You know what? I'm going to take a risk for God. God wants to use me. This is why I'm here. This is my purpose." The other day, my family and I went to a little breakaway during a holiday weekend, and we spent about 5 days in Branson, and we rented a condo. I never stayed there before. It was called Nantucket, the Nantucket condos. Maybe some of you stayed there before. Beautiful place, big bright colors, and I was like, "Man, I've heard this name Nantucket," so I began to look it up and see, and of course, it's named after the town of Nantucket, Massachusetts, and in Nantucket, Massachusetts, they're known for the museum there. They have a museum called the Life-Saving Museum, Shipwrecked and Life-Saving Museum. And as I was studying about this, that in Nantucket that they are known for a lot of shipwrecks outside their coast. That during the 19th century, there was over 700 shipwrecks that had happened out there. It's really rocky and hard to navigate. And back before they had navigation systems, there was a lot of people having shipwrecks. They were losing a lot of people's lives. And so the community came together, and they started this life-saving club, is what they called it. And they built huts along the coast. And they would be like watchtower huts, and people would volunteer. They're not being paid. They just went every day. They would fill the spots, and they would go there, and they would volunteer to look and watch out. And when they seen flares go up, or if they could see someone who was in a wreck, they would go out and try to rescue those people. And their motto was, "Well, go out no matter what. We may not make it back, but we'll always go out to help rescue people." And they went out, and they were credited for rescuing hundreds of people throughout the years. Then as modern technology improved, and then they developed the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard come along and begin to do that. They didn't have to do that anymore, but they still begin to meet, and they still met, and they would meet, and they met, and they would come together. And even though they were not going out rescuing people no more, they kept fellowshipping. And they liked getting together with those friendships they developed over time. And so they didn't want those to die. So they would come together, have potluck dinners, and they would come together for causes and come together in fellowship. And to this day, they still meet. And I wondered, I was thinking about that. I thought, God, if we're not careful, that's what the modern church has become. We're a church who used to rescue people. Now, if we're not careful, we're just coming together. Going to a church where, you know, well, it meets my needs, and you know, and I get to fellowship there I want, and I got my friends there I want, and we get really comfortable in there, and we forget what our purpose was. What brought us together is we're called to rescue people. I want to be a church who rescues people. I want to be a person who rescues people. And during all this time, we can look and say, what's the future hold? I don't know. Okay? I don't know what the next 4 weeks is going to hold, more or less 4 months, 4 years. But I'll tell you this, my purpose doesn't change. And I want to stay on purpose. And my purpose is this: I got to lead people to Jesus. I'm to shine bright. That's my job. It's your job. I'm going to close with a story. It's a story about a mentor of mine early on in my ministry. His name was Pastor Glenn Berto. Maybe some of you have heard of him. He pastors a great church in Modesto, California. And at one time, he had the biggest youth ministry when he was a youth pastor in America. And I had a chance to spend some time with him early on in my ministry. And I was just like, just asking him question after question after question. Finally, he was like, time out, Gene. Stop with the questions. He's like, enough, dude. He goes, how about this? Just come out. A friend of mine was working for him on staff. He said, just come out, hang out with him, and just come out and spend a week or two at our church, and we'll just pour into you. We'll answer all these questions, and we'll give you some tools to go back and use. It was quite influential in my early on in my ministry. And Glenn has such an awesome testimony. Glenn was an All-American for football at Louisiana Tech University. He was there when they won a national championship. If you don't know this, Louisiana Tech actually won a national championship several years ago. He tells a story about when he got recruited, that Terry Bradshaw was the one who called him up on the phone and talked him into coming to Louisiana Tech. And he went there, and he says, when I first got there, he goes, I walked in the door and I met a guy by the name of Denny Duran. And Denny Duran was a son of a Pentecostal preacher. He goes, when I walked in the door, the first thing he said to me was not, what position do you play? Where'd you come from? His first question was, Glenn, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He goes, I was like, dude, chill out, you know. Who are you talking about? He goes, are you ready for the rapture? He goes, the rapture? So we're talking about the rapture. We're going up and saying, what's going on? He goes, I had no idea what this guy was talking about. He goes, and over the next 3 years, he would try to invite me to his Bible study that he was having. He goes, and he gave me such a hard time. He goes, he and I became rivals. He would invite people to his Bible study, and I would intentionally invite people to go party to my party at the same time. Because I was throwing big parties, and I was having a packed room, and he would have two people at his Bible study. And I'd be like, ah, ha, ha, ha. I guess you're just not popular enough, you know, whatever. And he would give him a hard time. He goes, he came home from one semester, and on his door was posted top 10 most unsavable people on campus. He goes, my name was number one right there. He goes, we had this rival going on. He goes, but he would never, ever let it go. He was always talking about how I need to give my life to Jesus, how I need to surrender to Jesus. He goes, I didn't know anything about Jesus. He goes, I was raised with a few Hail Mary prayers, and that was it. I didn't know anything else about Jesus. He goes, but one time, after 3 years of him constantly nagging me, he told me, if you'll just come one time to my Bible study, he goes, I'll never, ever ask you to come again. I'll leave you alone. He goes, you promise? If I just come one time? He goes, yeah, just come that one time. So he agreed to go that night to the Bible study. He goes, and when he usually had two or three, he goes, the night I showed up, the whole room was packed. Because I knew something was up that night. And I walked in, and I heard Denny tell a message, and every time he preached a point, he would look right at me like, Glenn. He goes, it was crazy. He goes, it was a wonder I even made it. He goes, but he was preaching right to me. He goes, and then he began to ask people to bow their heads, and anybody wanted to accept Jesus. He goes, I asked him, who would raise your hand? He goes, I had a friend who would raise his hand, and I was like, put your hand down. He was telling people to put their hand down in the middle of church. Can you believe that? This is Glenn Berto. He goes, but during the middle of that, he goes, God began to get a hold of my heart. He goes, I started feeling convicted, and I walked out of the room, and I walked down to my room in the middle of all that going on. He goes, and when I got there, Denny was right behind me. He goes, you're feeling convicted, aren't you? He goes, I'm not feeling anything. He goes, oh, yeah, you are. I can see it. He said, I walked in my room and said, Denny, if I accept Jesus, he says, I don't want any of you guys to make fun of me the way I made fun of you guys. He goes, we won't do that. Glenn, we'll bring you. He goes, all right, is this real? He goes, I got to know it's real. He goes, if I'm going to do this, it's got to be real. He goes, he's going to do it. And he called everybody down the hallway. He's like, shut up, Denny. I don't want all those guys in here. He goes, no, come on in here. Glenn's going to, boom, boom, it's going to do it. He's going to give his life to Jesus. He goes, and he fell to the ground on his knees, and he cried out to God, asked Jesus to be Lord of his life. He said, I got up, and I said, Denny, it's real. I don't know what just happened, but it's real, and I want to live for Jesus. 3 years, Denny Duran chased Glenn Bartow around, sharing that testimony. Oh, by the way, Glenn Bartow has led worldwide over 100,000 people to Jesus. And what I'm telling you is that you never know the person that you're going after. You never know that one person you lead to Jesus. They may go on to lead 10,000 people to Jesus. They may bring their whole family. They may have grandchildren to raise up and be the greatest missionaries, pastors and leaders and doctors and people who share God's love. You never know that one person you're leading. Don't be afraid. Let your light shine. Take a risk. What's paralyzing you today? It's more than just a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. What's paralyzing you today? I want you to bow your heads. If you're here today, I just want to ask you that first question, the most important question. Have you ever given your life to follow Jesus Christ? Have you made him your Lord and Savior? And maybe you want to join those in the first service today. We have people who raised their hands to make a decision to follow Jesus for the first time. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But if you're ready today, right here, as I'm speaking, say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Raise your hand right now where I can see it. Say, today's my day, Pastor. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Raise it high right now where I can see you. Thank you. I see the hand. Anybody else? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you, guys. I see those hands. Thank you. Yeah. Listen, today's your day. This is why we're here. God's love is pulling you home. God's love has been reaching you all this time, and you're here for a purpose today. Today's your day. If you raise your hand, you're ready to give your life to Jesus. We're going to say this prayer out loud, and I want you to repeat it after me. As Christians around you, we'll help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, we say amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God, guys. Welcome to the family of God.